The past two Sundays, I've addressed two of the fruits of the Spirit. First, love, and then joy, last Sunday. And now we come to peace this Sunday. Peace. Peace is a great gift from God. We pray for it during the liturgy and all the services and the litany of peace. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and the salvation of our souls, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, we pray. Let us pray to the Lord. So we're always asking God for peace. It's one of the primary petitions of the church, asking God to grant peace to us and to the world. And we say what we're searching for, what we're seeking, is the peace of God which surpasses all understanding and guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the peace, not any worldly peace, not some false peace, but true peace which only comes from God. So we say peace is a great gift from God. But like all gifts from God, we know that we must seek it. The Lord wants us to want the gifts that He gives us. He wants us to seek and to knock and to ask for the gift. And so we must do that diligently. And St. Seraphim of Sarov speaks of this gift of peace and says that we must seek to acquire the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit with all our heart. And when we do, he says, thousands around us will be saved. If you acquire that peace of the Holy Spirit, people are drawn to that peace. Why? Because the world is hungry for peace. It's starving for peace, for real peace. But there's only one path to true peace, and that's the path of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what does this path look like? Well, just like everything for us Christians, it looks like the cross and the resurrection and the ascension into heaven and the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. It looks like the establishment of the church and the life dedicated to Christ, giving our hearts to Him. It especially involves love and prayer. As I mentioned two Sundays ago, St. Silouan says the whole reason why we don't have peace in our life, St. Silouan of Mount Athos, says the whole reason why we lack peace in our life is that we don't have love for our brothers and sisters, that we don't have love for our neighbors, so instead there's strife. If there isn't love, there's going to be strife, guaranteed. We're never going to be neutral, you know. We're always in forward or reverse, never in neutral when it comes to the spiritual life. So if we don't have love for others, then we don't have peace. So we know that we must seek the gift from the Lord. We seek it through prayer diligently. We seek it by cultivating love in our own life, by struggling to love, because it's not easy to love. But it's a commandment from the Lord. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The first and second great commandments. Everything else flows from that. So we know that we must do this. But I'd like to share three specific ways that we can seek love for God and for others, and through that love, find peace in our life. And in order to make it easier to remember, it rhymes. So first of all, know God is strong. Second, admit when you're wrong. And third, resist the throng. And I'll tell you what I mean by each of those. Know God is strong. We call God mighty or almighty. We sing and pray, Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. We believe that God created everything, the whole world, and He made us. And we say He can do anything. He can raise a dead man, as we heard in today's gospel. He has power over life, over death, over everything, the whole universe, and everything in it. So this is what we say. But still, even though we may believe this, for some reason we still have a hard time trusting God. He's all powerful. He's sovereign. He's Lord of the whole universe. And we have trouble trusting him. Why is that? We have trouble agreeing with his will, wanting his will instead of our will. Ah, there you have it. It's because I want my will to be done. You see? So I think maybe if I'm doing what God wants, I'm not going to get my will, and I'm not ready to give that up yet. So I have trouble trusting and following him wherever he's leading me. I say, well, God, I want to follow you, but if you're going to go there, I'm not so sure, because I'd rather be over here. So we have difficulty with this. But you see, brothers and sisters, peace comes through accepting God's will, through knowing that he's mighty, that he's strong, and that his will is perfect. That it's perfect, that our life consists of following him and doing his will. As long as we insist on our way and want to keep fighting against God's way, we won't have peace. We won't, ever. Going against God's will is like going against gravity. It might last for a moment or two when you jump up or something, but eventually you have to come down. You can't kick against the goads for long. It doesn't work. Sometimes we think we're doing God's will, and we hit an obstacle, and then we wonder. We ask ourselves, am I doing God's will? Listen to what St. Leo of Optina says. He has excellent advice for this situation where we hit an obstacle. He says, when one is following the will of God, no insurmountable obstacles will stand in the way. If we're doing the will of God, no insurmountable obstacle, no obstacle that can't be overcome will be in the way. So what does that mean? It means that if we meet an obstacle, logically, there are only two conclusions. A, we're not doing the will of God. Or B, it's not insurmountable. We can overcome it. It's possible. So when we hit an obstacle, it's always a wake-up moment. It's always like, wake up. Pay attention. See what's going on here. And we have to ask ourselves, if I've hit an obstacle, is it because I'm not doing God's will? Or is it because God wants me to persevere? And if we pray and if we want God's will with all our heart, he'll show us whether it's the one or the other. Our conscience will make it clear. So we have to make sure that we're following our conscience and seeking God's will with all our heart. If God is God and we're doing his will, everything will work out. Everything will work out in the end. It will. Because he is in control of the whole universe. So the question is, do we love God really? If we do, we will seek his will at all times and in every place, and we will find peace wherever we are. So know God is strong and what that means. And number two, admit you're wrong. Admit you're wrong. When you've done something wrong, admit it. Ask for forgiveness. Nothing robs us of peace like a guilty conscience. We all know what that's like. I know I don't have to describe it, because we've all been there, where you've done something wrong and you feel awful because you've done something wrong and you haven't made peace with someone, maybe, or with God. And so your conscience is tormenting you. And Scripture speaks of this as the undying worm. Can you imagine having that for all of eternity? Because we don't make peace with our conscience, we don't make peace with God. That's what Scripture is talking about, the undying worm. God forbid, no matter how hard we try to ignore our conscience, to pretend that it's not there, to not listen to its voice, to silence it somehow, we won't have peace until we make peace with it. That means to confess our sin to God directly, coming to confession, to those we've offended, and so on. And the quicker the better. As soon as we realize we've done wrong, immediately we should say to God, Lord, I know I've done wrong. Forgive me. Lord, that thing I just said to that person, it was awful. It just came from selfishness. Why did I say that? Please forgive me, God. And then maybe I need to go and ask the person for forgiveness. But I begin by admitting that I'm wrong, turning to the Lord, asking for forgiveness. And then when I have a chance, I come to confession. I say it to the priest. I ask for the prayer of absolution. the sacrament of forgiveness. You know, King David famously sinned, famously, and on a grand scale. He committed adultery, and then he committed murder. And he just as famously, or even more famously, repented of that sin. He recognized how terribly he had hurt other people and had simply flouted God's law. And he repented with all his heart. And there's even a psalm, Psalm 50, which celebrates this repentance, which is an expression of his true repentance, his contrition, his brokenness of heart, as he begged God to forgive him. And so, with that repentance, he made peace with God, and we call him a saint, even though he did these horrible things. Saint Isaac the Syrian says, "Make peace with yourself, and heaven and earth will make peace with you." We make peace with ourselves when we make peace with our conscience. We make peace with ourselves when we ask for forgiveness from God. When we come totally clean and stop trying to hide anything, and we live transparently, like, "God, let your light shine through me." But if I'm trying to hide things in darkness, I can't be transparent. Never. So I have to open my heart in confession, asking for forgiveness. So we know God is strong, and we admit our wrong and resist the throng. The throng of what? Of thoughts. Of what thoughts? Bitter thoughts. Angry thoughts. Dissatisfied thoughts. Dissatisfaction will steal our peace completely. It can destroy our peace. Grumbling, complaining, blaming, being ungrateful, ingratitude. This is what Adam and Eve did. They were ungrateful and they didn't glorify God. They were dissatisfied with what they had. God gave them everything and still they were ungrateful. And we do the same thing. Basically, if you want to, you can give yourself over to these thoughts of dissatisfaction about your situation, about whatever it is in your life, about the people around you, being dissatisfied with other people. And it's its own punishment when you do that. It's its own punishment. It torments us when we do that. These thoughts make our own hell within us. And we become miserable, and we make other people around us miserable when we go around constantly expressing our misery. But why would we want that? Saint Ambrose of Optina says this: "Spiritual or emotional dissatisfaction comes from within ourselves." In other words, it doesn't come from other people. It comes from us. And he says, from inexperience and from poorly conceived opinions that we don't want to abandon, you know? Have you ever had an opinion that you didn't want to abandon, even though you could see that the foundations were shaky when you start to talk to other people, but you stubbornly want to hang on to it? So he says, from within ourselves and from inexperience and from poorly conceived opinions about ourselves and about the situation that we do not want to abandon, but which bring on doubt, embarrassment, and misunderstanding. All this tires and burdens us, he says, and brings us to a sorry state. We would do well to comprehend the Holy Father's simple advice, he says. If we will humble ourselves, we will find tranquility anywhere, in any situation, without having to mentally wander about many other places where we might have the same or even worse experiences. And it's like the saying of the Desert Fathers, where there was a certain monk who in his monastery had a certain brother who offended him, and it was driving him crazy. So he decided he couldn't handle it anymore. So he left the monastery and he went to a different monastery. Well, at first it was nice, but then after a little while he discovered there were two brothers at that monastery who offended him, and they were driving him crazy. So finally he couldn't handle it anymore, and he went to a third monastery. You know what he found there? Three brothers. He kept going from monastery to monastery to monastery, and finally, the last one he ended up, everybody offended him. They were all doing everything wrong. It was driving him crazy, and he realized the lesson. Wherever you go, there you are. We take ourselves with us, and our issues and our problems and our dissatisfaction. And so it's not a matter of changing our situation most of the time, the vast majority of the time, but rather of changing ourselves. So instead of being dissatisfied with what we have, we want to cultivate gratitude for what we have right here and now, that God is with us. We thank God that He is showing us His mercy right here and now, even in the midst of our weakness, just like St. Paul said. Or rather, what God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." He had a thorn in the flesh which he wanted to get rid of. He could have grumbled his whole life because God said no, right? "Please, Lord, deliver me from this thing that's tormenting me, this thorn in my flesh, this person who's a thorn in my flesh, or this situation, or this physical, whatever it is." And he begged God 3 times, he said, and God said, "No. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And when we can accept that and resist the throng of dissatisfied thoughts, but accept God's will, then we will find peace. But this takes humility, and that's the point. It takes humility. When we're humble, we rely on God's strength rather than trying to do everything ourselves. St. Anthony the Great once saw in a vision how the devil puts snares throughout the world, traps and pitfalls for people to fall into all over the world. He saw this in a vision. And so he said to God, "What can get through all of these traps? What can possibly enable us to get through all of these traps?" And the answer came to him in one word from God: humility. Humility. When we humble our hearts and we rely on God, we resist the throng of bitter, dissatisfied, resentful, self-centered thoughts, and instead choose humble thoughts. Then these humble thoughts put God on the throne of our heart and kick us off that throne. And that's how it has to be. May the Lord help us to know that His grace is sufficient for us. May He help us to always choose His holy will and to freely admit our sins and receive forgiveness from Him and from others, and to have humble thoughts in place of the other kind. Amen.